Chapter 5. Assessment. Estimation of the situation is, however, a continuous process, and changed conditions may at any time call for a new decision. FM 100-5, Operations, 1941. This chapter defines assessment and describes its fundamentals. It describes an assessment process and concludes with guides for effective assessment. Fundamentals of assessment. Assessment is the determination of the progress toward accomplishing a task, creating a condition, or achieving an objective. JP 3.0. Assessment is a continuous activity of the operations process that supports decision-making by ascertaining progress of the operation for the purpose of developing and refining plans and for making operations more effective. Assessment results enhance the commander's decision-making and help the commander and the staff to keep pace with constantly changing situations. Assessment involves deliberately comparing intended outcomes with actual events to determine the overall effectiveness of force employment. More specifically, assessment helps the commander determine progress toward attaining the desired end state, achieving objectives, and performing tasks. Through professional military judgment, assessment helps answer the following questions: Where are we? What happened? Why do we think it happened? So what? What are the likely future opportunities and risks? What do we need to do? Assessment precedes and guides the other activities of the operations process. During planning, assessment focuses on understanding an OE and building an assessment plan. During preparation, the focus of assessment switches to discerning changes in the situation and the force's readiness to execute operations. During execution, assessment involves deliberately comparing forecasted outcomes to actual events while using indicators to judge operational progress towards success. Assessment during execution helps commanders determine whether changes in the operation are necessary to take advantage of opportunities or to counter unexpected threats. The situation and echelon dictate the focus and methods leaders use to assess. Assessment occurs at all echelons. Normally, commanders assess those specific operations or tasks that they were directed to accomplish. This properly focuses collection and assessment at each echelon, reduces redundancy, and enhances the efficiency of the overall assessment process. For units with a staff, assessment becomes more formal at each higher echelon. Assessment resources, to include staff officer expertise and time available, proportionally increase from battalion to brigade, division, corps, and theater army. The analytic resources and level of expertise of staffs available at higher echelon headquarters include a dedicated core group of analysts. This group specializes in operations research and systems analysis, formal assessment plans, and various assessment products. Division, Corps, and Theater Army headquarters, for example, have dedicated plans, future operations, and current operations integration cells. They have larger intelligence staffs and more staff officers trained in operations research and systems analysis. Assessment at brigade echelon and lower is usually less formal, often relying on direct observations and the judgment of commanders and their staffs. For small units, those without a staff, assessment is mostly informal. Small unit leaders focus on assessing their unit's readiness, personnel, equipment, supplies, and morale, and their unit's ability to perform assigned tasks. Leaders also determine whether the unit has attained task proficiency. If those tasks have not produced the desired results, leaders explore why they have not and consider what improvements could be made for unit operations. As they assess and learn, small units change their tactics, techniques, and procedures based on their experiences. In this way, even the lowest echelons in the Army follow the assessment process. Assessment activities. The situation and type of operations affect the characteristics of assessment. During large-scale combat, assessment tends to be rapid, focused on the level of destruction of enemy units, terrain gained or lost, objectives secured, and the status of the friendly force to include sustainment. In other situations, such as counterinsurgency, assessment is less tangible. Assessing the level of security in an area or the level of the population's support for the government is challenging. Identifying what and how to assess requires significant effort from the commander and staff. Whether conducting major combat operations or operations dominated by stability tasks, assessment consists of three major activities: monitoring the current situation to collect relevant information, evaluating progress toward attaining end-state conditions, achieving objectives, and performing tasks, recommending or directing action for improvement. Monitoring. Monitoring is continuous observation of those conditions relevant to the current operation. Monitoring allows staffs to collect relevant information, specifically that information about the current situation described in the commander's intent and concept of operations. Commanders cannot judge progress nor make effective decisions without an accurate understanding of the current situation. CCIRs and associated information requirements focus the staff's monitoring activities and prioritize the unit's collection efforts. Information requirements concerning the enemy, terrain, and weather, and civil considerations are identified and assigned priorities through reconnaissance and surveillance. Operations officers use friendly reports to coordinate other assessment-related information requirements. Staffs monitor and collect information from the common operational picture and friendly reports. This information includes operational and intelligence summaries from subordinate, higher, and adjacent headquarters, and communications and reports from liaison teams. Staffs also identify information sources outside military channels and monitor their reports. These other channels might include products from civilian, host nation, and other government agencies. Staffs apply information management and knowledge management to facilitate disseminating this information to the right people at the right time. Staff sections record relevant information in running estimates. Staff sections maintain a continuous assessment of current operations as a basis to determine if operations are proceeding according to the commander's intent, mission, and concept of operations. In their running estimates, staff sections use this new information and these updated facts and assumptions as the basis for evaluation. Evaluating. While attrition formed an important element of American strategy in Vietnam, it hardly served as the guiding principle. Westmoreland believed that destroying enemy forces would help lead to larger political ends. Even before Westmoreland's tenure, MACVI, Military Advisory Command Vietnam, had realized that quantitative reporting of enemy kills insufficiently measured progress in an unconventional environment. Body counts did not necessarily produce reliable qualitative assessments of the enemy's military and political strength. Gregory A. Dattis. The staff analyzes relevant information collected through monitoring to evaluate the operation's progress. Evaluating is using indicators to judge progress toward desired conditions and determining why the current degree of progress exists. Evaluation is at the heart of the assessment process, where most of the analysis occurs. Evaluation helps commanders determine what is working and what is not working, and it helps them gain insights into how to better accomplish the mission. In the context of assessment, an indicator is a specific piece of information that infers the condition, state, or existence of something and provides a reliable means to ascertain performance or effectiveness. JP 50. Indicators should be relevant, bear a direct relationship to a task, effect, object, or end state condition. Observable, collectible so that changes can be detected and measured or evaluated. Responsive, signify changes in the OE in time to enable effective decision making. Resourced, collection assets and staff resources are identified to observe and evaluate. The two types of indicators commonly used in assessment include measures of performance, MOPS, and measures of effectiveness, MOES. A measure of performance is an indicator used to measure a friendly action that is tied to a measuring task accomplishment, JP50. MOPS help answer questions such as, was the action taken, or were the tasks completed to standard? A MOP confirms or denies that a task has been properly performed. MOPS are commonly found and tracked at all levels in execution matrices. MOPS help to answer the question, are we doing things right? At the most basic level, every soldier assigned a task maintains a formal or informal checklist to track task completion. The status of those tasks and subtasks are MOPS. Similarly, operations consist of a series of collective tasks sequenced in time, space, and purpose to accomplish missions. Current operations integration cells use MOPS in execution matrices, checklists, and running estimates to track completed tasks. Staffs use MOPS as a primary element of battle tracking with a focus on the friendly force. Evaluating task accomplishment using MOPS is relatively straightforward and often results in a yes or no answer. A measure of effectiveness is an indicator used to measure a current system state, with change indicated by comparing multiple observations over time. JP50. MOES help measure changes in conditions, both positive and negative. MOES help to answer the question, are we doing the right things? MOES are commonly found and tracked in formal assessment plans. Evaluation includes analysis of why progress is or is not being made. Commanders and staffs propose and consider possible causes. In particular, they address the question of whether or not changes in the situation can be attributed to friendly actions. Commanders consult subject matter experts, both internal and external to the staff, on whether their staffs have correctly identified the underlying causes for specific changes in the situation. These experts challenge key facts and assumptions identified in the planning process to determine if the facts and assumptions are still relevant or valid. Evaluating also includes considering whether the desired conditions have changed, are no longer achievable, or are not achievable through the current operational approach. Staffs continually challenge the key assumptions made when framing the problem. When an assumption is invalidated, then reframing may be in order. Recommending or directing action. Monitoring and evaluating are critical activities. However, assessment is incomplete without recommending or directing action. Assessment may reveal problems, but unless it results in recommended adjustments, its use to the commander is limited. Ideally, recommendations highlight ways to improve the effectiveness of operations and plans by informing all decisions. Based on the evaluation of progress, the staff brainstorms possible improvements to the plan and makes preliminary judgments about the relative merit of those changes. Staff members identify those changes possessing sufficient merit and provide them as recommendations to the commander or make adjustments within their delegated authority. Recommendations to the commander range from continuing the operation as planned to executing a branch or to making unanticipated adjustments. Making adjustments includes assigning new tasks to subordinates, reprioritizing support, adjusting information collection assets, and significantly modifying the COA. Commanders integrate recommendations from the staff, subordinate commanders, and other partners with their personal assessments. Using those recommendations, they decide if and how to modify the operation to better accomplish the mission. Assessment helps identify threats, suggests improvements to effectiveness, and reveals opportunities. The staff presents the results and conclusions of its assessment and recommendations to the commander as an operation develops. Just as the staff devotes time to analysis and evaluation, so too must it make timely, complete, and actionable recommendations. The chief of staff, or executive officer, ensures the staff completes its analyses and recommendations in time to affect the operation and for information to reach the commander when needed.
Vignette: Measures of Effectiveness. Operation Support Hope. Mission statements can serve as a primary source from which to develop measures of effectiveness. The first and most urgent task facing planners for Operation Support Hope in Rwanda, July 1994, was the directive to stop the dying from the U.S. Commander-in-Chief, Europe. Initial action focused on the massive refugee deaths from cholera around Goma, Zaire. The Joint Task Force commander decided to measure effectiveness by whether refugee camp death rates dropped to the level the United Nations determined was consistent with normal camp operations. A related mission requirement was to open Kigali Airfield for 24-hour operations. Success for this requirement was measured by statistical data that showed the surge in airfield use and cargo throughput after American forces arrived. Both measures of effectiveness, derived from the mission statement, were used throughout the operation to communicate progress to all participants.
Assessment process. There is no single way to conduct assessment. Every situation has its own distinctive challenges, making every assessment unique. The following steps can help guide the development of an effective assessment plan and assessment activities during preparation and execution. Step 1. Develop the assessment approach, planning. Step 2. Develop the assessment plan, planning. Step 3. Collect information and intelligence, preparation and execution. Step 4. Analyze information and intelligence, preparation and execution. Step 5. Communicate feedback and recommendations, preparation and execution. Step 6. Adapt plans or operations, planning and execution. See ATP 50.3 for a detailed discussion of each step of the assessment process. Step 1. Develop the assessment approach. Assessment begins in planning as the commander identifies the operation's end state, operational approach, and associated objectives and tasks. Concurrently, the staff begins to develop an assessment approach by identifying specific information needed to monitor and analyze conditions associated with attaining the operation's end state, achieving objectives, and accomplishing tasks. In doing so, the staff tries to answer the following questions. How will we know we are creating the desired conditions? What information do we need? Who is best postured to provide that information? If a higher headquarters assessment plan exists, the staff aligns applicable elements of that assessment plan to the plan they are developing. The assessment approach becomes the framework for the assessment plan and will continue to mature through plan development. The assessment approach should identify the information and intelligence needed to assess progress and inform decision-making. Step 2. Develop the assessment plan. This step overlaps Step 1. It focuses on developing a plan to monitor and collect necessary information and intelligence to inform decision-making throughout execution. The assessment plan should link end state conditions, objectives, and tasks to observable key indicators. This plan also should include specific staff responsibilities to monitor, collect, and analyze information, as well as develop recommendations and assessment products as required. Step 3. Collect information. Staffs collect relevant information throughout planning and execution. They refine and adapt information collection requirements as the operations progresses. Staffs and subordinate commands provide information during execution through applicable battle rhythm events and reports. Intelligence staffs continually provide updates about the situation to include information about the enemy, terrain, and civil considerations. Step 4. Analyze information and intelligence. Analysis seeks to identify positive or negative movement toward achieving objectives or attaining end state conditions. Accurate analysis seeks to identify trends and changes that significantly impact the operation. Based on this analysis, the staff estimates the effects of force employment and resource allocation, determines whether forces have achieved their objectives, or realizes that a decision point has emerged. Recommendations generated by staff analyses regarding achievement of the objective or attainment of the desired end state conditions, force employment, resource allocation, validity of planning assumptions, and decision points should enable the staff to develop recommendations for consideration. Recommendations can include the following: update, change, add, or remove critical assumptions. Transition between phases. Execute branches or sequels. Change resource allocation. Adjust objectives or end state conditions. Change or add tasks to subordinate units. Adjust priorities. Change priorities of effort. Change command relationships. Change task organizations. Adjust decision points. Refine or adapt the assessment plan. Step 5. Communicate feedback and recommendations. Assessment products contain recommendations for the commander based on the commander's guidance. Regardless of quality and effort, the assessment process is limited if the communication of its results is deficient or inconsistent with the commander's personal style of assimilating information and making decisions. Additionally, there may be a requirement to provide input to higher headquarters assessments in which the requirements and feedback could be within a different construct. Step 6. Adapt plans or operations. Commanders direct changes or provide additional guidance that dictate updates or modifications to operations to drive progress of operations to objectives and end state conditions. Staffs capture the commander's decisions and guidance to ensure forces take necessary actions. As the operation evolves, the assessment plan will evolve as well. Guides to effective assessment. Throughout the conduct of operations, commanders integrate their own assessments with those of the staff, subordinate commanders, and other unified action partners in the AO. The following guides aid in effective assessment. Commander involvement. Integration. Incorporation of the logic of the plan. Caution when establishing cause and effect. Commander involvement. The commander's involvement in operation assessment is essential. The assessment plan should focus on the information and intelligence that directly support the commander's decision-making. Commanders establish priorities for assessment in their planning guidance and CCIRs. By prioritizing the effort, commanders guide the staff's analysis efforts. Committing valuable time and energy to developing excessive and time-consuming assessment schemes squanders resources better devoted to other operations process activities. Commanders reject the tendency to measure something just because it is measurable. Effective commanders avoid burdening subordinates and staffs with overly detailed assessments and collection tasks. Generally, the echelon at which a specific operation task or action is conducted should be the echelon at which it is assessed.
Vignette: Commander's Assessment. We are ready to close on Baghdad. Just 8 days after crossing the border from Kuwait into Iraq, coalition forces neared the enemy's outer defensive positions of Baghdad. V Corps had fought its way north from the west side of the Euphrates River as the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, MEF, attacked north on the east side. Both forces had weathered a sandstorm, and logisticians diligently moved supplies, fuel, and ammunition forward. Fighting continued along the 5th Corps line of operations from Az-Samawa north to An-Najaf. Intense fighting was ongoing along the 1st MEF's approach from Basra north to An-Nasiriya. On 28 March 2003, General David D. McKiernan, commander of the Coalition Force Land Component Command, went forward to meet with his commanders, Generals James T. Conway, 1st MEF, and William S. Wallace, 5th Corps, in Jaliba. He wanted to hear directly from his subordinates concerning their stance for the transition from the march-up country to closing on Baghdad. The meeting began with McKiernan providing his assessment of enemy forces and results of wargaming from his staff. He then asked some key questions to his commanders, including their satisfaction with the level of risk along the lines of communications back to Kuwait. Both Wallace and Conway had some concerns they believed they needed to address prior to crossing the red line that referred to entering the inner defensive cordon outside of Baghdad. Wallace briefed his plan for a series of attacks designed to set the conditions for the assault to isolate Baghdad. McKiernan asked what he needed to set that stance. Wallace responded by saying he needed to position the Corps by 31 March to launch his attacks on 1 April. Conway noted that the 1st MEF was undertaking a systematic reduction of the bad guys in An-Nasiriya, and he wanted 1st United Kingdom Armored Division to execute some pinpoint armor strikes in Basra. Conway also noted that Colonel Joe Dowdy, 1st Regimental Combat Team Commander, was in a 270-degree fight. After hearing his commanders, McKiernan decided to take time to clean up and make sure we have the right stance in our battle space before we commit into the Baghdad fight. Because once we commit to the Baghdad fight, we can't stop. Supported by the assessment of his commanders, McKiernan ordered a transition to set conditions to isolate Baghdad.
Integration. Assessment requires integration. Assessing progress is the responsibility of all staff sections and not the purview of any one staff section or command post cell. Each staff section assesses the operation from its specific area of expertise. However, these staff sections must coordinate and integrate their individual assessments and associated recommendations across the warfighting functions to produce comprehensive assessments for the commander, particularly in protracted operations. They do this in the assessment working group. Most assessment working groups are at higher echelons, division and above, and are more likely to be required in protracted operations. Normally, the frequency of meetings is part of a unit's battle rhythm. The staff, however, does not wait for a scheduled working group to inform the commander on issues that require immediate attention, nor does the staff wait to take action in those areas within its delegated authority. The assessment working group is cross-functional by design and includes membership from across the staff, liaison personnel, and other unified action partners outside the headquarters. Commanders direct the chief of staff, executive officer, or a staff section leader to run the assessment working group. Typically, the operations officer, plans officer, or senior operations research and systems analysis staff section serves as the staff lead for the assessment working group. Developing an assessment plan occurs concurrently within the steps of the MDMP. The resulting assessment plan should support the command's battle rhythm. The frequency with which the assessment working group meets depends on the situation. Additionally, the assessment working group may present its findings and recommendations to the commander for decision. Subordinate commanders may participate and provide their assessments of operations and recommendations along with the staff. Commanders combine these assessments with their personal assessment, consider recommendations, and then direct changes to improve performance and better accomplish the mission. Incorporation of the logic of the plan. Effective assessment relies on an accurate understanding of the logic, reasoning, used to build the plan. Each plan is built on assumptions and an operational approach. The reasons or logic as to why the commander believes the plan will produce the desired results become important considerations when staffs determine how to assess operations. Recording, understanding, and making this logic explicit helps the staffs recommend the appropriate MOs and MOPs for assessing the operation. Caution when establishing cause and effect. Although establishing cause and effect is sometimes difficult, it is crucial to effective assessment. Sometimes, establishing causality between actions and their effects can be relatively straightforward, such as in observing a bomb destroy a bridge. In other instances, especially regarding changes in human behavior, attitudes, and perception, establishing links between cause and effect proves difficult. Commanders and staffs must guard against drawing erroneous conclusions in these instances. By order of the Secretary of the Army, Mark A. Milley, Chief of Staff, General, United States Army, Chief of Staff. Official, signed Kathleen S. Miller, Administrative Assistant to the Secretary of the Army.